Welcome to Law Light, a quick dose of legal levity as we shine some light on the heartbeat of the legal field.
Welcome, everyone. This is Alicia Dodge, Senior Managing Director for Gibson Arnold & Associates. Today, I'm joined by Melinda Delmonico, our CEO. Today, we're going to discuss expanding, connecting, and cultivating your network. Good morning, Melinda.
Alicia, good morning. I'm so delighted to be here with you.
Melinda, I am so thrilled that we are talking about this topic at the moment. I think this is a great time for everybody to look at their contacts, figure out how they know. So tell me a little bit more, what is networking?
You know, I really wanted to be more definitive because the word is used so broadly. We talk about it with connecting with people, but we also talk about it with computers, right? With computer networks. I looked it up. And the definition for networking, there's a couple that resonated. The first is the formal definition is the action or process of interacting with others to exchange information and develop professional or social contacts, the cultivation of productive relationships. And another definition that I thought was pertinent is a supportive system of sharing information and services among individuals and groups having a common interest. And so when I started thinking about this particular topic and what we run into, I realized how crucial networking is. Because if you think about this definition of cultivation of productive relationships, it comes in all forms in our life, from our personal relationships to our business relationships to anything that we are doing. The connecting and communication with people is critical. So when you look at a job search, it becomes even more critical on how jobs are found.
So Melinda, typically, how do most individuals find their job within this environment or any environment?
I would love to say that it's all through recruiters, since that's what we do. And a big part of our business is full-time search. But the reality are that most jobs are not even advertised. And when I looked at statistics and researched networking and the number of jobs found, the stats are that 70 to 85% of jobs are filled through networking. And up to 70 to 80% of jobs are never even listed or filled. And I think what we find with our clients is they contact us for a particular job. Sometimes they've exhausted their resources. I find that companies always go to their network first to see who they know. And the other benefit for accessing a recruiter from a company's perspective is that we tend to look broadly. If you think about a network, it's about connections. So if I'm an employer, let's say I'm the general counsel of a company, I may reach out to 10 different law firms and say, who do you know, and get a recommendation. They're tapping into their networks, and then those people are tapping into their networks. And so as you can see, it depends on that frame of reference and the contacts within that network on who actually gets access to the job.
Those are very interesting statistics. I'm not sure I would have said it was that high that most individuals find through networking opportunities. I know that there's a lot of recent graduates. There may be individuals who are looking for a job at the moment that were not looking a couple of months ago. How do people go about establishing or developing a network? What should people do to make sure that they're in that 75 to 80%?
You know, and I, before I answer that question, the one thing I do want to talk about is do you cultivate a network strictly for finding a job, or do you cultivate a network for other reasons? And what I want to say on this particular topic is that I think people who are currently employed really have to step out of the box and expand. You know, we tend to contract when we're working all day long. We are in the realm of who we're working with, and we're also in the realm of the people we engage with our clients, right? And so we get busy, we don't step out, we don't cultivate the network. And then when you do want to find a job, I have candidates come to us and they want our help. And the first thing I say is, have you reached out to your network? And the response on many occasions is, Melinda, I just haven't had time. I've been so busy. I haven't had time to connect with people. And then now they're in a position that they need to find another job and they're creating a network. So I guess my first point is while you are employed, that you cultivate your network, that you meet with people on a regular basis and begin that process if you don't already have the network. The second thing is to create a network. If you begin making a list of people that you know, so I tell candidates, make a list of 50 people that you know, or at least 25, and begin the process of connecting. So if you're a law school graduate, who do your parents know? Who have you met through the family? What contacts do you have? You can come up with 25 people.
I agree. When I talk with, especially recent graduates who are looking, it's just not about who you've worked for. It's about who you know. I direct them a lot of times to, you know, their career services at their law school. You know, you're networking with them because alumni are still coming back to the university. They're putting you in touch with individuals that they know within that area. So I agree. I don't think your network is just who you know and who you've worked for. I think it's much larger than that. I think it's anybody that you've ever come in contact with. I've had candidates that have told me they have found positions through their next door neighbor. It's not a work contact at all. It's a personal connection. So I agree. I think networking is way beyond just work connections. I think it's all type of connections.
Exactly. And to your point, you're talking about thinking outside of the box, because a lot of times we're comfortable with certain connections and relationships that we have, and there's a hesitation to reach out to people we don't know. So when you think about the list of 50, I always recommend just starting writing down names. They can be close contacts. They can be people that are from the family. They can be people that you've met at the gym. They could be business associates. And as a lawyer, most lawyers have a tremendous amount of contacts that they've been in a career for a while. Previous employers, thinking about the CEOs that you've worked for, the other attorneys that you've worked with in a law department or in a law firm, thinking about the various activities that you've been involved with. Let's say you've been involved in a nonprofit. Who are the board members? So really thinking creatively about those contacts is important.
What if you don't have a list of 50 names? You're thinking, and maybe you're not thinking broad enough and you haven't come up with 50. What other resources should you go to? How else can you think outside of the box?
So I think your passion and engagement and your passion. So think about the things that you enjoy outside of work. Let's say that you are an animal lover. Thinking about the connections of the people that you meet in that realm, or you're a mountaineering person and you're climbing. Who are your climbing connections? And then within your professional connections, maybe you're a real estate attorney and you've touched in the corporate law section. Go to the bar association, hit the corporate law meetings, because that's what you want to go do. Think about your passions and where they lie. And then take a class, join the bar activities, be active within the community. That's how you're going to get the names. And I think the other important part of it, if you think about how do you cultivate them? So let's say now you've got your list of 50 and Alicia, I'm going to reach out to you, right? So you're on my list and let's just say I don't know you really well. What do I say? And what do you tell candidates in that? I'm sure you've got that question as well.
You know, that was going to be my next question. You have your list of 50. You don't know all of these people. How do you even reach out to them? You know, as a recruiter, I reach out to individuals all the time that I don't know. You know, I'll tell them how I came across their number. I will say, you know, I was chatting with Bob and Bob suggested I reach out to you because he knows that you're in this practice area. So I try to make that personal connection with them when I'm talking with a candidate. So they know that I've done my research. They know why I'm coming to them. So that's how I generally try to start a conversation, is through a personal connection and how I got their name and why I'm calling them. What do you do, Melinda? What other advice do you have for cold calling a network that maybe is one step out of your comfort zone.
Yeah. So I think there's two parts of that. Sometimes you have close connections and people are afraid to ask their close connections for help because they don't want to impose on them. And then you have the people that you don't know and you want to cultivate, right? And so there's a bit of a mindset that you have to start with. And the mindset is that I have the opportunity to connect with you. I don't necessarily need to ask you of anything, but I can give to you. So if you have a mindset that I'm going to actively listen to the other person, engage with them, learn about them, you will find a receptive audience. Yeah, and I say that because there is a difference in the mindset. When we're nervous and we just go and we're calling, hey, I'd like to connect with you, I'd like to add you to my network. I know LinkedIn, they have add to my network, and it's a common theme. And LinkedIn and these social platforms are really helpful for creating networks. But be creative in that. Think about your mindset of, I want to meet you because you're going to be potentially a friend, right? You're going to be potentially someone I'm going to have a long-term relationship. Maybe not, maybe I will. And then from there, you want to engage and learn about the person. So a typical, you may call and say, hey, John, it's been so many years since we've connected. Would you have time to meet for coffee? Face-to-face is really important. I know we're in a pandemic right now, so that might be a little more difficult. But making time to connect face-to-face really strengthens a relationship when you've met with someone. So I think that there can be a myriad of scripts that you want to proceed with. One could be, John, so great to connect with you. I am beginning a job search and would love to hear your thoughts about what's happening in the market. I'm really open. And if you have a particular job that you're looking for and you're narrowing your presentation, you are limiting the opportunities of creative thinking. Whereas if you say that I'm open to opportunities and I'd like to network with you or to think creatively about what's going on in the market, people will think creatively. If you say, I'm looking for a general counsel position for a public company, then people start thinking more narrowly about your job search. So it really depends on how you want to approach things.
You know, Melinda, something that you said at the beginning of your speech, resonated with me, that sometimes people are afraid to ask their close connections for help. I can't tell you how many times I've talked with a candidate that said they got their last job because they talked to Joe down the hall and said, hey, I'm looking for a new position. Do you know anybody out there that's hiring? And Joe just happened to talk with this client who we passed the resume to. So getting over that fear of asking a close connection, I think, is important because in the number of years that I've done this, a lot of individuals have found their next job because they brought it up to someone. And a week later, that person was talking to somebody else who needed to hire an attorney, and they recommended them. They went through the process. The individual was hired. You know, what other fears should people get over with networking?
Such a brilliant question, Alicia, because people have so many fears at times, especially if they're feeling shy. I think a fear of, again, it's the mindset, right? So if you're approaching someone with anxiousness and anxiety, people tend to feel that. Right? They can sense your anxiousness. So I think taking a breath, stopping for a moment, and remembering that these people were also in your position of needing to find a job at one point in time, and expecting them to be gracious with their time, to be open and to be active listeners as well. Because a lot of folks, sometimes they forget that they were in that position, but the majority of time people remember that they at one point needed help and expect that you will receive help, expect that you will have open-hearted people connecting with you. And to your point, you were talking about timing. You were talking about reaching a person and they happen to know someone who's actively looking, and then you go into the job. One of my favorite stories that I love to tell is about a previous general counsel for a major airline. He worked as a litigator for a law firm, and he read an article about this particular airline, it was an interview with their CEO. He wrote the CEO and said, "I totally am aligned with your philosophy. I would love to talk with you and learn more about your organization. And if you ever need a general counsel, I'd love to talk with you about that as well." The CEO called him the next day. He interviewed because they happened to be looking for a CEO. They hadn't posted the job and they offered him the job, and he had a brilliant career with this airline. And so I think that is, that's another part of the search. He is actively reaching out. But if you consider networking in that perspective, that is a form of networking as well. He wanted to just connect with the CEO because he read a fantastic article. So I think you have to be bold.
Yeah. And what I've learned, if people can get over that fear, 9 times out of 10, the candidates that I'm talking to that are reaching out to a network that maybe they've never spoken with in the past, if they explain their situation, that person 9 times out of 10 is always open to having a cup of coffee with them, because you're correct. They do remember them being in that person's shoes, whether it was 5 months ago, 5 years ago, 15 years ago, they remember what it felt like and how they had to do the work as well to find a job. So I would say, get over that fear, because 9 times out of 10, that individual is going to be wholeheartedly open to, having a discussion with you and seeing how they might be able to help now or in the future.
And I would say, my last statement on this particular topic would be, if I could give people advice to add to what you've just said of getting over fears, is be generous. Be generous with your time. Be generous with listening to people. Take the time to speak to someone that's reaching out to you, because you may find yourself in the same situation and you may have a tremendous amount of benefit from that relationship, be it on a personal heart level to a business level. So my advice is, be generous, be active listeners, and engage with people.
Melinda, that is such great advice. Thank you so much for this informative talk. And to everyone that's listening, please look forward to our next podcast.
Thank you, Alicia. My pleasure. Such a joy to be with you.
We have found our way. It's a brand new day. And we'll be making history. Are you with me? Won't you stay? We have come so far. This is who we are. And like the rising sun, we have just begun to play our part. This is the time we form the chorus. Lift your voice for those before us. We can rely on one another. Feel the pride, let's show.